Tom Brady wins his 7th Super Bowl. Age of 43. All right, Richard. Do you think Tom Brady has surpassed Michael Jordan as the GOAT of all? We're going to say team sport GOATs because shout out Serena. I'm not even going to include her in this. For team sports, is he the GOAT of all GOATs?
He's pretty close, right? Like, I would say him and MJ are the two greatest GOATs that we have ever seen up until this point. But I will say I think Brady has him in Super Bowls, obviously, but I think MJ still him in, like, cultural relevance. Jordan's shoe game, what Jordan did for payment brand of athletes. Everyone is still chasing him from that standpoint.
And you went not just with Gronk as your fave from yesterday. I believe that you had some Arizona Wildcat love in there too.
Yeah, look, there's Wildcats littered everywhere, Rachel, everywhere. Wherever you see success, you're going to see Wildcats.
That's amazing. I know that producer Danny feels the same way. Welcome to The Jump, friends. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm alongside NBA champ Richard Jefferson, 2008 Finals MVP Paul Pierce is going to be joining us soon. Coming up, Kevin Durant cleared to return to the Nets lineup on Friday, but are the 3 games he will miss due to COVID-19 contact tracing something, nothing, or everything? We will discuss that in a moment. Also, Warriors coach Steve Kerr says star players are, quote, gifted calls, not by the officials, but by the league. Richard and Paul will give me their reaction to that as well. First, though, it is always a little bit of a weird, flat feeling the day after the Super Bowl, but never fear, the NBA is here for you. Do you like the story of Tom Brady pushing the limits of age and time to win another ring? All good. The NBA also has an old dude trying to bolster his GOAT credentials with more hardware. Are you following along with Deshaun Watson as he tries to get traded? Hey, in the NBA, we already know how the big trade involving the frustrated Houston superstar turns out. Do you agree with the NFL's decision to cancel its All-Star Pro Bowl for COVID reasons? Well, in the NBA, never mind on that one. Anyway, the point is, even in a pandemic, it is already turning into another breakneck season in the association. And for those of you who have had your attention split by football over the past few months, here is a brief timeline of what you have missed so far. December 1 kicked off the weirdest preseason ever after the shortest offseason in NBA history. The Lakers and Heat were openly exhausted. Giannis was debating his supermax with the Bucks, and the entire league was engaged in a game of Where's Waldo as James Harden kept showing up everywhere except Rockets training camp. The Clippers gave Paul George a pile of money, which he vowed to earn.
I owe him a trophy. That's what I owe this organization. This is a window that we're trying to capture. And my commitment and my job is to try to bring a title here.
Meanwhile, out east, Kyrie Irving was doing his best Phil Jackson impression, burning sage in Boston Garden. Why not? While Kevin Durant let everyone know he was indeed still Kevin Durant. And coronavirus showed it is still coronavirus. I don't think we're in a bubble anymore, Toto. We saw the Trailblazers have to shut down their practice facility. In Milwaukee, Giannis finally put pen to paper, breaking the hearts of front office execs from Miami to Dallas. And then right before Christmas, opening night, the Lakers got their rings. We had the people of Seattle rejoicing with revived talk of expansion.
Holy cow!
Master P and Baron Davis offered to buy Adidas. Becky Hammon made history. The Rockets' John Wall showed he is still John Wall after 2 years on the shelf. Woo! Yeah. Games were postponed due to COVID. Then more games were postponed. Then still more, prompting the NBA to stop allowing players to have outside visitors when on the road. The Wizards stopped being able to even practice. Kyrie stopped coming to games. The Sixers offered Ben Simmons for James Harden. But the Rockets instead dealt him to Brooklyn, creating one of the most potent offensive teams of all time. Victor Oladipo was dealt to the Rockets. Kyrie came back. The Nets defense, not quite so much. Steph Curry balled out. So did Bradley Beal, Nikola Jokic, CJ McCollum, and Joel Embiid. LeBron turned a Cavaliers employee taunting him into a 46-point night of revenge. Damian Lillard hit a game-winning crazy buzzer beater again.
5 seconds left. Covington trying to get it to Dame. He puts it on the floor. Step back three from Dame.
Oh, and Derrick Rose is back in New York again. No, really. So there, you are all caught up. Just wait until you see what happens next. We've got Paul Pierce joining us now. Welcome into you, Paul. And let's start with you. Who do you think is the most intriguing storyline in the NBA this season, Mr. Pierce?
Well, I have to go with the All-Star game right now because, you know, you have your top players talking about they're not excited about it. And I hear guys like LeBron, Antetokounmpo, you know, these guys are major players in our game. And then I'm finding out that they have an option if they want to go or not without being fined. So, you know, that's a big concern for me, you know, with one of our biggest games of the year.
Well, you know, my number one thing that I think, you know, for this season is really the honeymoon stories, right? We see, you know, we know what Giannis can do in the regular season. We know a Doc Rivers-led team, 76ers, are playing great. Joel Embiid is having one of his best seasons ever, literally one of the top two or three guys when it talks about MVP. But we know that Doc Rivers and a Doc Rivers-led team is going to be judged by the postseason. We look at Paul George, and this guy is, after a struggle postseason last year, he's having one of the most epic seasons. He's averaging 20 points a game on 50, 40, 90. That's only been done by like five guys in NBA history, and it was done by Larry Bird twice. But everyone in Clipper Nation knows the only thing that matters is how you play in the postseason. So between Giannis, between a Doc Rivers-led team, and between Paul George, it's like, hey, these regular seasons are great. Everyone is waiting for the postseason to see how these guys perform. That's the most intriguing story for me this season.
Do you guys feel that now that we're up and running, this really is a season? There were some questions before we started of empty arenas, right, with no fans, and schedules were going to be weird, and guys were going to be coming in and out in the lineup. I still feel like there has been some really exceptional basketball, and the NBA is continuing. Richard, do you get that vibe? You're calling so many games right now.
No, I do get that vibe. You look at having Steph Curry back and having the Warriors be relevant again. It's just great basketball seeing him play and do what we've always known. You know, obviously LeBron and AD are right there at the top of the West where they should be. But again, it's those little sub stories. Again, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, can they take that next little jump in their second year in Clipperland? There's been so many great stories, even the young players, LaMelo Ball, Haliburton in Sacramento, which I really think has an opportunity to win rookie of the year after sliding in the draft. So there's been great stories all year long, and I think they're only going to kind of build as the season progresses.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit it right on the nose, Richard. I mean, just seeing Steph back out there go for 57 the other day, watching Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie team up, these are definitely intriguing stories. And, you know, hey, what's going to happen with the Clippers? Can they bounce back from last year's debacle? And so the games have definitely been exciting. I'm excited to see who's going to make that first-time jump to the All-Star game also. But it's definitely been, despite the circumstances, been an exciting season.
All right. So, if you've had your attention split by football, we welcome you back to being All-NBA all the time. All right, guys, something a little bit, well, let's not kid ourselves, a lot harder to talk about. When someone dies suddenly, it is such a shock, such a tragedy, it can be hard to see anything else. That is what it felt like last night when we got word about Pedro Gomez. Everything turns pitch black. It was hard to breathe. Not Pedro. No. Not one more in this year of never-ending death. Not one of the kindest, funniest, smartest, sweetest, most accomplished men that has graced your television over the past couple decades. Pedro covered more than 25 World Series, more than 20 All-Star games, and won all sorts of awards, but those are just the numbers. As the Gomez family shared in a statement on Sunday, saying, quote, Pedro was far more than a media personality. He was a dad, loving husband, loyal friend, coach, and mentor. He was our everything. His kids' biggest believer. ESPN president Jimmy Pitaro added this, quote, Pedro was an elite journalist at the highest level, and his professional accomplishments are universally recognized. More importantly, Pedro was a kind, dear friend to us all. Our hearts are with Pedro's family and all who love him at this extraordinarily difficult time. Gomez was the son of Cuban parents who came to Miami just before his birth. He was fiercely and rightfully so proud of them. And when in 2016 he accompanied the Tampa Bay Rays on a trip to Havana, he brought the ashes of his father and brother to scatter there at the family home. I remember talking to him after he got home from that trip. It was a great conversation, but then again, they all were with Pedro. He and Ann were actually hired here at ESPN within months of each other. And ESPN can be a place that's hard to navigate. So we had a lot of talks, a lot of texts back and forth as we found our way. I knew then how lucky I was to have him have my back, have that friendship that would go on to span more than 17 years. So today, that is what I am trying to remember. All of the amazing moments, all of the incredible times, those colors, those pictures of a life so well lived, and not the blackness that came out last night. Let's remember Pedro the way we always saw him, smiling. Rest in peace, my friend. I want to play some post-game sound from LeBron after that double overtime marathon. Take a look here.
I was just ready to go. I'm 36 years old, and you know, I really don't have the heart. I don't have the heart. My heart is not sustainable for two overtimes at this point in my career. So I was just ready to go, get home. You know, I got a bottle of wine that's been ready to be opened, and I delayed it for two more quarters and or two more overtimes. So I wasn't happy with myself in that regards.
I know as he was speaking, the both of you were like, I feel you deeply, LeBron. Paul, can you explain why NBA vets don't like free basketball the way fans do?
Listen, when you get to be 36 like LeBron, he just wants to get to that plane or hotel or home and have a bottle of wine. He's upset that he even went into the first overtime. He didn't take care of business. I mean, I feel you. I feel you, LeBron, because it was a point in my career was like, I'm tired of overtime. Let's get this over. Who cares?
Yeah, you know what? Like he said, he was disappointed in himself because there's nobody else to blame. You got LeBron and AD sitting right there. They went into overtime with the Pistons. Now, mind you, the Pistons have like four or five wins, and it's against good teams. But ultimately, LeBron James should blame nobody other than LeBron James. It takes ISOs, one-on-one ISOs for you against Mason Plumlee at the end of a double overtime to seal the game. That is your fault. You're to blame. So you can have an extra glass of wine because you've earned it.
All I know is I can always tell when NBA players turn that corner into being true long-term vets when they say, why can't we be like the NHL? Ties are fine. What's wrong with ties?
No. So. No.
There you
go. It's America. Right. We don't tie.
Coming up, Kevin Durant pulled mid-game on Friday because of COVID-19 contract tracing protocols. We will now look ahead for the Nets at the time he's going to miss. Is it something, nothing, or everything? Paul says everything. Stick around to find out why. All right, welcome back to The Jump. I'm joined by Richard Jefferson, Paul Pierce, and gentlemen, it is now time for a game of something, nothing, or everything. First up, the New York Knicks reached an agreement on a trade to acquire Pistons guard Derrick Rose for Dennis Smith Jr. and 2021 second-round draft pick to reunite Rose with coach Tom Thibodeau. Richard, is this something, nothing, or everything?
I think it's something. You know, ultimately, the Knicks are in a playoff push, and Dennis Smith Jr. was out of the rotation. So to get Derrick Rose, you know, and we've seen the last couple of years, he still has something left in the tank. Is he, you know, the starting guard? Is he this? Is he that? No, but is he a contributor? Does he understand Tom Thibodeau? Does Tom Thibodeau now have an ally that has played with him in his system that understands everything that he's doing? So I think this right here is a sign that the Knicks are trying to make a playoff push, and they believe that they can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something also, but you know what's encouraging to watch guys like Derrick Rose. You know, he's at a point in his career he could say, yo, trade me to a contender, you know, and we haven't seen that since he's left Chicago. He had stops in Cleveland, Minnesota, Detroit, and now he's going back to New York. You know, my hat's off to him. You know, he hasn't been a ring chaser. He's comfortable under Coach Tibbs, and hopefully he can help the Knicks get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I love this. I think it's going to be really fun to see them together again. Maybe we can actually get a crowd at the Garden sometime this season to give him some props. I think it's going to be really fun. Looking forward to what they can do. All right, guys, it's time for one of our favorite shows within a show. Oh, yes, the OG show within a show here at The Jump. As the Kings turn around. The Sacramento Kings beating the Clippers last night for their fourth straight victory. One of our heroes, leading man Buddy Hield, dropping 22, and De'Aaron Fox led all scorers with 36 points and 7 assists. So, Paul, the Sacramento Kings, as they turn around, is it something, nothing, or everything?
You know, they have to take every little thing they can get out of the season because this team hasn't been to the playoffs in so long, and this 4-game winning streak has been against quality opponents. So it's absolutely something, something they can build on, and hopefully it's something that can bolt them into the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I definitely believe this is something. Before the season started, I came out and tweeted that the Sacramento Kings have the worst starting lineup in basketball. And the Sacramento Kings fans continue to retweet that and send it to me. But look, De'Aaron Fox made a jump that they expected last year, and he made that jump. I think Coach Walton has done a great job. They got Halliburton to slide once that they did, but Halliburton slid to them, and this guy has been amazing. His basketball IQ is off the chart. Buddy Hield has played well. Marvin Bagley has been healthy. These are all of the key components that have led to their success. You get young players making jumps, you draft well, and you get your other young stud to be healthy. This is why this team has a chance to make the postseason. Will they? I think it's going to be tough. I think they have a chance for the play-in game right around that 7-8-9 spot. But it is very, very encouraging for Kings fans and for this organization to see all of this young talent starting to put it together.
Well, just to add here, the NBA just announcing that De'Aaron Fox, in fact, won their Western Conference Player of the Week award, Giannis, on the Eastern Conference side. And I will say, I really applaud you saying Coach Walton in that highlight package there. Not a way to describe your best friend, one of your closest friends and former roommates, but that was very professional. Really, really.
I'm trying my best.
Really
I'm trying
nice.
My best to be professional. Try my best.
How's that working out for you?
It's not very well.
Last up, let's move on to Kevin Durant initially pulling from the starting lineup right before tip-off to undergo contact tracing on Friday night. Then cleared to play, entered the game late in the first quarter. Then ordered to exit midway through the third quarter at the direction of the league. It was a mess. Kevin Durant not happy, tweeting, quote, "Free me," and then having an even more lengthy and explicit tweet at the league after that. Richard, as Kevin now sits for the next 3 games for contact tracing, is it something, nothing, or everything?
This is everything, and I'm going to explain to you why. Kevin Durant had a streak of most consecutive starts. It was like Patrick Ewing, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, and I'm not sure who the next person is. So he was on pace to have this amazing streak. You know, we talk about double digits and consecutive this. He was on pace to break Patrick Ewing's record for consecutive starts. So they pull him right before the game starts. Streak is over. Then they're like, all right, go out there and play. And they're like, no, you can't. So this is something. You know, it's all of this COVID stuff's going to get worked out, but the fact that his 1,000-game streak ended of consecutive starts, that was the part that I kind of feel bad for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, this is absolutely everything, just the way it went down, because originally he was stated to not play. Then he came, walked on the court, came off the bench, and like for the reasons Richard said. And then he's sitting out 3 games. And another thing, you're going to ask him to come play in the All-Star game that a lot of the stars aren't excited about. This is everything, Rachel. Hey, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of frustration there that Kevin was venting. It was a rough weekend for that from stars around the league. And it is frustrating for guys when they feel like they're getting kind of yo-yoed back and forth. And I know that the league's health and safety people, I really do want to say, they have been faced with just a huge, tall task. And this stuff is hard. There's no precedent for it. They are trying in the end to keep everyone safe. I know from Kevin's side, since he has been open about the fact that he had COVID, he has tested for antibodies. So he sort of feels like, okay, well, why are you holding me out? There is a lot going on here. It is very, very difficult. And it's just one more thing that we hope can become a thing of the past soon enough as we go through getting people in this country vaccinated. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about foul calls, friends. Do NBA stars get gifted with foul calls? We'll discuss this after the break. Keep it locked on The Jump. Let's run it back. Luka versus Steph, and this
really
did not disappoint.
Steph Curry and Luka Doncic go at it.
Pay attention. I'm a man on the mission. Put a target on the money. Watch me no scope competition.
Steph Curry from downtown. Back-to-back threes for Doncic.
I'm on fire.
Curry way downtown. Bang!
I'm on fire.
Doncic, three-pointer. Bang! Luka Doncic out-duels Stephen Curry.
I got to be in the building for that one on Saturday. It was so much fun. Luka tying his career high, 42 points, went to the line 14 times on Saturday night. After the game, though, Steve Kerr lamenting some of the calls Luka got, where he leaned into defenders who were closing out to contest his shot. So, Paul, you used to get some superstar calls in the league. Do you like the way the rules help high-volume shooters?
I mean, this is an unspoken rule. I mean, at least the stars of this league get the benefit of the doubt. I mean, that particular play right there, they stopped calling that when you jumped into the defender. But for the most part, superstars get more calls in offense. That's why they're superstars, because they get the benefit of the doubt. They're highly skilled, highly intelligent, and they know how to manipulate the refs.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, gifted calls, it's funny because, you know, you think about what Steph and Kevin Durant, some of these guys have done, you know, that have benefited Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr also yes. played with Tim Duncan. Steve Kerr
Michael
also played
Jordan.
With Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. So I would say this, that Steve Kerr is an expert on the subject. I just don't know if he should be the individual complaining about said subject. So, no, I agree with Paul, man. You understand this as when you're guarding stars, when I used to have to guard him, and he used to tell the officials that I was always doing something and they always agreed with him, right? It's like, that's the only way to guard guys. You have to be physical. You have to try and do things. That play in particular, those are ones that I think should just be cut out of the game for safety purposes. And I think that that's not the one that people are talking about. But make no mistake that Luka Doncic has spent quite a bit of time complaining that he doesn't get enough calls. So it's like you got both sides of the argument there.
Well, I'm going to let Steve defend himself here because you guys both disagree with him. So here's what he had to say for himself.
I don't fault the officials for making those calls. I fault the league for basically gifting those calls to all of our players. And our guys get them too, you know. To me, it's not a basketball play. You know, if you jump 3 feet forward, I don't think you deserve a foul when all you're doing is looking for the foul. You know, I think the league has done a great job with you know, helping find a really good place for the offensive players to shine, the athleticism to be on display for our fans. But we've gotten out of control with you know, sort of gifting offensive players the ability to deceive the refs or to, you know, grab or whatever and, you know, jump 3 feet, 4 feet into a guy and draw a foul. We have to give the defensive player, you know, some benefits of the doubt. And but it's just, you know, the officials have to call it. That's the way the league dictates that they call it. So I have no problem with the officials.
So, Paul, part of what he's saying is he thinks that this should change going forward. Do you agree with him?
Well, yeah, I thought that was already a rule. I mean, I remember during my last days in the league that you weren't allowed to jump forward. But, you know, as the rules change each and every year, it's more geared toward the offensive player, and they're going to get the benefit of the doubt more times than not.
Well, and to Steve's point, you know, his players benefit from them also. But there are certain times, like that one on Bron is not so much because like he uses the defender and you should never leave your feet. But in the era where we're saying that you have to give players room to land, you can't now jump, you can't give the player space because if you jump forward, they can jump forward into you. And so I look kind of like the Kevin Durant sweep through that became, you know, so famous and so popular. The league is going to constantly adjust because players are always advancing the game. So the referees in the league are typically reactionary in these situations, and they are, you know, doing things in advance.
All right, guys, we will keep an eye. As always, up next, the Suns now fourth in the Western Conference standings. Is that a blip or a trend? Stick around to find out. Got Mr. Arizona on the show.
Yeah, yes, you do.
bathroom.
I just arrived to get my COVID shot, and this is one shot I won't block.
Gratitude to a great ball club for a courageous effort.
No Celtics were harmed during my shot. Let's do this together. To learn more about vaccines, visit cdc.gov.
I love that. The legend, Bill Russell, public service as always. Welcome back to The Jump. Guys, it is crunch time here. Let's do a little Nikola Jokic watch. He scored a career high 50 points in a loss to the Kings on Saturday. We also saw him drop 47 in a win over the Jazz just a couple weeks ago. Richard, do you expect this scoring surge to continue all season?
Well, I wouldn't say all season, but I think he's put himself in a position where he understands that he's got to score, that he's an amazing playmaker. He does so much. He always, you know, he's a pretty good scorer, you know, probably not in the league's elite, but I expect him to continue this.
I mean, this is unbelievable. When I look at this guy, he can't jump over a phone book. He's not that fast. He just continues to dominate these games year in and year out. And it makes me want to believe that he's probably our game's. He has to be the top three most skilled players in the game because he doesn't have any athleticism. I mean, no definition, no speed, and he continues to be major factor out there on the offensive end. And it's fun to watch, though. I mean, it just puts hope in all the little pudgy kids around the world that you can do it too.
He's not that pudgy anymore, Paul. He's been on this whole diet since the bubble. He's you know, he did compare his athleticism to LeBron's the other day. He said, you know, he gets up a little higher and has a little bit more razzle-dazzle when he dunks than LeBron. But, hey, no one's perfect, right? I mean, you got to feel bad for that LeBron guy, he said. He's got a great sense of humor, obviously. Richard, where do you see him in the MVP race right now?
Ooh, I think he's top three in the MVP race. I think it's really him. I think it's LeBron, and I think Embiid in the Eastern Conference. All three of them are just, you know, dominating in different ways. You know, especially I would, you know, given LeBron's age and the shortened off season, for him to come out and be as impactful with, you know, Anthony Davis not really having, you know, the same type of high level season. We know Anthony Davis is going to be just fine. He's going to be that man. But Jokic, especially because Denver's slow start, he has picked it up. And I think that definitely has vaulted him higher in that MVP race.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the numbers speak for itself. I mean, like you said, LeBron, Embiid, you know, Denver, if they continue to surge and they can be a top three seed, I believe that he's a true candidate for the MVP because the numbers, like I said, they're going to speak for themselves all year long. It's going to be dependent on how well his team does in the Western Conference. If they can secure a top four seed, then most definitely.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. We're already about a third of the way through this season. This one's going to fly by. Remember, only 72 games. So these conversations are definitely being had around the association. All right, let's move on to the Jazz because they beat the Pacers Sunday, their fourth straight win. Utah just likes being on winning streaks, Paul, because they won 15 of their last 16 games. This is a big deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the one loss they had was to Denver, where Joker goes out and gets like 47. I mean, this team, you know, it reminds me because they don't have that super, superstar. Like, you know, I mean, Jonathan Mitchell's a great player, but, you know, he's not in the same tier as LeBron and KD and these guys. But they remind me of that Detroit team with Chauncey Billups with so many guys who can do so many things and a great defensive team. And so, you know, this is a team to watch out for.
It still blows my mind when we, and this is no disrespect to you, Paul, I still think Donovan Mitchell is a super, superstar. Yeah, if he was playing in a little bit bigger market, he might get a little bit more attention putting up these numbers and having this success, let's say for the Lakers or the Knicks or something, a little bit more high profile of a team. But Donovan Mitchell is a superstar. He does all of the things that are needed. This guy has been a stud since he came into the league. Rudy Gobert is one of the best defensive players that this league has had in the last 10 years. So when you have one of the best defensive players, you have one of the best late game studs, and then you surround them with talent, that's what they are. They have Conley, they have Clarkson, they have so many guys around them that are contributing. This team is going to be a force, but kind of like how we alluded to earlier, earlier in the show, it's all about how you play in the postseason. For him to be a superstar, he's got to get to a conference finals or a finals.
Okay, I didn't know we have superstars and then we have superstars. That's another tier. I didn't know that we added another tier. So
yeah, another tier. There's like superstars and there are superstars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I got it. Okay, well, he's a superstar. Okay.
Paul, you know Richard. He has his own world. There's so many ways that Richard's world is just organized a little differently than the rest of us. Donovan would be the first one to tell you, by the way, that he needs more playoff success to reach that top echelon. He is very determined to get it. The presence he has as a young player, and we forget sometimes that he is young still in this league. He has a lot more to do. I do think the continuity, though, in Utah is a real win and something you're seeing in this streak. There's been so much turnover across the league, and it's now become just the most constant thing in the NBA is that everything changes. And here is Utah with guys who know each other, have good relationships and chemistry with each other, and are building on what they have put together for the past few seasons. And we're seeing it now. We'll see how long this streak lasts. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Wizards. Bradley Beal, after losing to the Hornets by 22 points, we'll take a listen to what he had to say.
You gotta have some pride, man. It's a dog. Why no dog? Just kind of just let teams walk over us, and that's frustrating. I mean, it's tough because we're all adults, you know. I can't do it for guys, you know. I can only do it for myself, you know. All we can do is encourage the next man to be ready to go and, you know, accept the challenge. That's, I can't do that for someone else. It's like, I can't do you guys' job. You guys can't do my job. You know what I'm saying?
I can't do that for someone else. Richard, what do you hear when you hear Beal's comments there?
Well, ultimate frustration. You know, again, there was all that conversation about, you know, will Bradley Beal resign a couple of years ago and will he take the extension? Well, you know, I'll go back to Carmelo Anthony a few years ago when he was with the Knicks and all of that. Could he have gone to Chicago? Does he take the money from New York? You sign that contract knowing that your team is not going to be very good. Now, you expect them to be more competitive than what they are, but it was kind of like, you know, Bradley, when you signed this contract, when you did this thing, you look around and no expert, no basketball person had you guys, you know, maybe the end of the postseason, maybe eight, but that's about it. So, you know, he's got to step up as a leader. He's got to find ways to motivate these guys. But ultimately, I hear a guy that might be regretting taking that extension.
Hmm. Trust me, no, he's not regretting taking that extension.
Monetarily wise.
No, I mean, clearly he's frustrated. I mean, he's one of the great talents in this league. He's probably the best two guard in the game right now. I mean, I can't think off the top of my head. I mean, he's playing like it. And so, and now he's not having any success on the court. And so, you know, I feel what Beal is going through because he's having this great, great season and it's going unnoticed. And, you know, it's like you're putting these prime seasons into waste. And you don't want to do that as a competitor because who knows how long our primes last? Who knows how long you're going to be able to put these type of seasons and performances together? And you want to be able to do it on a bigger stage. And that's not happening in Washington, especially this year.
Well, it's funny, Paul. The person I keep thinking of every time I hear Bradley Beal in this situation and then him simultaneously saying, hey, I'm still dedicated to D.C. I still want to try to find a way to win here. The person that reminds me of the most is Kevin Garnett when he was in Minnesota. And I'm just curious about your conversations with Kevin after he finally decided, you know what, I've done all I can do here. What has he told you really flipped it for him where after years of just sticking it out in Minnesota and saying, I'm going to win a title here if it's the last thing I do, he finally was like, oh, okay, I will accept a trade because it's not going to be here and I want to win somewhere.
Well, I have to thank the people that's close to Kevin because, you know, he really confided in Chauncey Billups, who's a close friend of his, who he played with in Minnesota. Tyronn Lue was a big factor on him coming to the Boston Celtics. You know, the conversation I remember them having was like, hey, look, you get a chance to go to the Eastern Conference. Ray was already traded here. You know, the Western Conference was already being dominated by the likes of the Lakers and Shaquille O'Neal. Nobody wanted to play in the West when Shaq was there. It was hard to get over that mountain. And I have to credit those guys. You know, he can go to the East, play with a couple of all-stars and give himself a chance. And so, you know, it was the people close to him because Kevin, he's a stubborn person. And, you know, that's one of his greatest strengths and also one of his greatest weaknesses. And that's what kept him in Minnesota so long. And then when we have our conversations over a glass of wine, he was like, I should have came in 2006 because we talked in 2006 about joining each other. And it happened just a couple years later. Who knows what would have happened?
Well, we will see what Bradley Beal's friends keep telling him as we go here. Time for our League Pass game of the night real quick. The Cavaliers taking on the Suns, 9 o'clock Eastern in Phoenix. The Suns beating the Celtics on Sunday to improve their record to 13-9. That's good enough for fourth place in the Western Conference, guys. Is the Suns' success right now a blip or a trend, Richard? Are they going to stay in that top half of the bracket?
Oh, I think they're going to stay there. And it's not because of their offense. It's because of, one, Chris Paul, and two, the defense that they play. You know, they're a top 10 defense. They've been hovering around the top five. So as long as, you know, they continue playing that type of defense, you know, they're going to be able to weather whatever storm or injuries that they might possibly. So I think that this is a real thing for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, there's only two things going to keep them out the playoffs. You know, Chris Paul going down for a length of time or something happening in the COVID protocols. But this team, when they're healthy, they're definitely a playoff team in my eyes.
Yeah, well, one of the longest streaks not making the playoffs in the NBA. A lot of long-suffering Suns fans. I know how excited they are. It is really fun for the rest of us to watch this team nationally, too. They've got so much energy. I can't wait to see how this one turns out. All right, guys, we are out of time on The Jump today. We return tomorrow right here on ESPN. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Richard. See you guys later.
Just nothing about Brady this whole show.